Our next speaker this morning is Dr. William Cole Glazer, who's going to speak about stewardship in nuclear waste, what is our responsibility to future generations. Dr. Cole Glazer is the Executive Officer of the National Academy of Sciences and the Chief Operating Officer of the National Research Council. He formerly has been a professor of physics at the University of Tennessee. He was a congressional fellow for the AAAS, and he received his PhD in theoretical physics from the California Institute of Technology. I'm sure he's a close friend and colleague to many of you. Let's welcome Dr. Cole Glazer.
Well, it's a distinct pleasure for me to be here at a symposium honoring Frank Parker. Frank has been a friend and mentor for over 25 years. As you all know and we've heard, in the field of nuclear waste management, he's been a pioneer, both in advancing the science and engineering knowledge, the frontier, training students, and applying that knowledge to solving real-world problems. He's a distinguished member of the National Academy of Engineering. He's what's called a National Associate of the National Research Council, having chaired many committees over a long period of time. The title of my talk is Stewardship in Nuclear Waste, What is Our Responsibility to Future Generations? I can think of no better answer to that question than Frank's career. For someone who has undertaken that responsibility by trying to develop the knowledge, devoting his intellect, his energy, and communication skills to creating and applying knowledge to help solve a challenge that was created by our generation and by transferring that knowledge to the next generation. Let me begin by giving you a few caveats about my own involvement, which has been pretty limited in recent years, certainly compared to the many experts and friends who are here who were the real experts in this country on nuclear waste management. Now, when I shifted my career in the 1970s from theoretical particle physics to science policy, one of the problems that really intrigued me at the time was the socio-political aspects of nuclear waste management. I got involved with them when I was a congressional fellow in the mid-1970s. Then when I was at Harvard, helping to organize a conference jointly sponsored by the Aspen Institute and Harvard University, dealing essentially with the politics of nuclear waste management. In fact, that was almost like, you could say, this is a current revival meeting. That was one of the originals back in 1978. Like this meeting, that meeting was going to lay out how to solve the nuclear waste management problem, the socio-political aspects. And at that meeting, I met some of the people that I see here today and have known well over the years. Roger Casperson, Tom Cotton, John Ahern, who actually I met when I was a congressional fellow. And out of that, I did a book called The Politics of Nuclear Waste Management. For the students in the audience, I'm going to leave several books in the back in case you're interested in looking at them, including some of the most recent studies that have come out of the National Research Council dealing with these issues. From there, in the 1980s, I was on the board on radioactive waste management during Frank's tenure as chairman. Of course, that was a very interesting and exciting time for those interested in nuclear waste management. We had the Nuclear Waste Policy Act of 1982, the attempts at implementing the repository program, then the Nuclear Waste Policy Act amendments in 1987, the issues with the MRS, monitored retrievable storage. Then when I was at the University of Tennessee, some of my colleagues and I there got a grant, and it was to look at what are the ethical and value issues associated with radioactive waste management. And I'll speak a little bit about some of those today, but at least since the early 1990s, I've neither been a close follower nor an expert on this issue. But as all of you know well, this is an issue where you can be Rip Van Winkle. You can come back after after any period of time almost and find out that many of the same issues are the ones that people are still grappling with today. Although events have moved on and new knowledge has grown. And I'm particularly grateful to Dr. Kevin Crowley, who is director of the successor to the Board on Radioactive Waste Management, the Nuclear and Radiation Studies Board, the NRSB, of which we have several current and past chairs of the board here, because Kevin gave me a quick tutorial update on what's been happening in the field before coming down here. But I should say that my talk is going to be at the 30,000-foot level, so I'm not going to use any overheads at all. And my comments are not the official views of the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the National Research Council. Those really come from the reports of the expert committees, many of which Frank has chaired, Committee, which a number of the people in this audience have either been chairing or been involved with over a number of years, in which the Nuclear Radiation Studies Board helps to oversee. Well, the topic of this conference is how can science technology contribute to finding a societally acceptable path forward. So what is unique about the challenges of nuclear waste management? It's not just the uncertainty in the science and engineering knowledge. That's true of many of the policy issues we face today, and every time the National Research Council puts together an expert committee to study an issue, that's almost a fact of life, that there are scientific uncertainties. That's why the politicians and the public are interested in having an expert committee of scientists lay out what is known and what is not known in the field. It's not also the fact that there's intrusion of human values in making judgments about what to do about it. That's also obviously true on almost any controversial public policy issue, where science technology are important inputs and boundary conditions, but obviously not the only factor in making wise decisions. Now, the unique aspect, of course, as we've heard from the organization of this conference, is the extraordinary time frame which high-level nuclear waste is extremely hazardous. It's been 60 years since the dawn of the nuclear age, and yet we're talking about time frames that go 10,000 to a million years. And this time frame magnifies the challenges of dealing with the scientific uncertainties and in understanding the human value judgments that come to play in trying to chart a path forward. And as we all clearly know, politicians and the public have the right and they have the power to be heard on these issues, including issues that scientists often think are primarily in their domain, such questions as how safe is safe enough, and also how sure is sure enough about our knowledge. Let me give you just a very brief, short digression on categories of value issues in dealing with public policy, and they're all involved in the radioactive waste management issue. I see them as sort of falling into three categories. One called procedural values. They deal with concerns about the fairness of the process in making decisions. And the Nuclear Waste Policy Act of 1982 went in great detail about laying out a decision-making process. Sort of the feeling that if people feel the decision process is fair, they will accept decisions that they may not like in terms of the outcome. The second category, distributional values. They deal with the fair allocation of the costs, benefits, and risks to individual stakeholders, but also to society as a whole. We're a society that some people accept risks knowing that others are going to accept different risks. It's really sort of a shared community. So we also have to think about what's good for society as a whole, as well as for us individually. The last category, which I think is one of the most interesting, is called evidential values. And it was a term that was coined by my friend Sheldon Reaven, professor at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Evidential values concern what counts as the standard of evidence to justify a policy decision when there are uncertainties. For example, just an example not in this area, but in a standard jury trial, you know, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. It has to be a unanimous view of the participants on the jury. In trying to decide about whether you should license a new drug, you have to look at what are the standards of proof in terms of that there's efficacy of the drug, is also what is the possibility of having harmful effects of the drug. All of those decisions, because they affect people, are value judgments. And I think the evidential values clearly come to play in radioactive waste management. In fact, the question, how sure is sure enough, is an evidential value question. Another policy issue today with some of the same similarities to radioactive waste management is global warming. Clearly, there's scientific uncertainties. There's the potential for very large consequences for society. There are lots of value judgments in deciding what to do. And it's a long time frame, perhaps not quite as long as radioactive waste management, but but also we're talking about centuries. And of course, the issues of global warming and nuclear energy, as we heard from Frank, are related. Our generation clearly wants to be a good steward for future generations and also a good steward for our planet. People can differ strenuously on exactly what this means, but I think being good stewards for future generations, bequeathing them the tools and the wealth for improving their quality of life and protecting the planet, has become a nearly universal value of most societies, clearly so when they develop. So in thinking about how to be a good steward and meeting our responsibility to future generations, what are some of the key questions, at least in my view, that science and technology experts need to keep in mind and also to have a dialogue with the public and the politicians. First, what is the role of nuclear power in meeting this generation's energy needs and helping to ameliorate the global warming problem? Second, what is the linkage between the expansion of nuclear power and finding a permanent solution now to the nuclear waste disposal, or the term that's used these days is disposition? And by permanent solution, I mean safely putting away nuclear waste without the need of perpetual care. And the third question, what is the trade-off between finding a permanent solution now versus a temporizing solution that allows for future generations to come up with better solutions? The dominant path pursued by the science technology community, at least for the past 30 years, answers these questions, I think, in the following way. First of all, in the role of nuclear power, it's an important option that needs to be used for supplying our nation and the world's energy needs, especially for being a low or no carbon energy source. This is a view that I personally share, although I think we have to be realistic on how much nuclear power can contribute and when. I might mention the National Research Council is undertaking a massive energy study right now. It'll be available at the beginning of the new administration. It's not to make recommendations on what the nation should do, but it's trying to lay out objectively what is possible by all the various energy technologies that might contribute in when under various scenarios. So at least we're trying to put out options that might be very helpful to decision makers as they grapple with these problems. Well, what is the dominant view of the community on the second question I laid out? I believe the feeling is that there is a societal linkage between finding a permanent solution now and the expansion of nuclear power. That view has certainly been an impetus for much of the legislation that we're struggling to implement today. The whole legal, regulatory, and political framework is pretty much premised on this view. This is a view, by the way, that I personally think is suspect. And I don't mean to minimize the technical challenges of temporizing solutions, such as monitored feeble storage of nuclear waste over centuries. But we do have to realize in other areas we're going to be doing this. And just one example clearly is the stewardship of nuclear weapons. Nevertheless, the dominant approach of the community, I think, is logical, rational, and responsible. But we also have to assess the likelihood that it will be successful and the downside of failure and what is our fallback position. A point that Kevin Crowley made to me when I was talking with him the other day, as new nuclear power plants go through the licensing process, it's very important that they should plan in advance for the possibility that there will be no repository. That has to be thought about now and not assumed. The other logical, rational, and responsible approach, in my view, is to manage waste carefully for the foreseeable future, to prevent hazards to humans and to the environment, and to advance our science technology knowledge to create options for future generations, but to allow them to decide on the more permanent solution. But again, with this one, we also have to assess the likelihood of being successful and the downside of failure with this approach. And clearly, one of the things we have to worry about now about this approach is the concern about terrorist threats. My own preference would be not to put all our eggs in one basket, to pursue both approaches for the foreseeable future. And of course, that is possible. It fits in with the concepts that are being talked about now of adaptive management, a stepwise decision process, the stage development of facilities. To make it robust, however, I believe we must have a candid dialogue with the political leadership and the public. In many ways, it does come down to how best to be a good steward to future generations, especially with these scientific uncertainties over such long time frames. When the Frank Parker Symposium is held 100 years from now in the Jacobs Believed in Me Symposium facility, what will the scientists be saying then, 100 years from now, be saying about us? It is likely they will have had to grapple seriously with global warming issues. Hopefully, they have come up with many low-carbon energy options that will likely include expanded nuclear power. What will they think about how we have managed the waste? Will Yucca Mountain be full and closed? Will we be really looking at long-term monitored retrievable storage as the primary option at that day? My guess is that generation can handle it whichever way we go with these. I really haven't provided any answer to the hard technical issues, nor much insights on exactly how we move forward in the socio-political problem. But I hope is that our science union community does so, we keep in mind what our colleagues 100 years from now might say about the path we have taken. To what extent have we created options for them? And I mean that interpreting in the broadest sense, dealing with our energy challenges, dealing with our global warming challenges, dealing with our nuclear waste management problems. To what extent have we expanded options for them, and to what extent have we closed options for them and created difficulties they're going to have to contend with? The last thing I might mention, I meant to have it earlier, with the books that I'll put out there. Frank mentioned Rethinking High-Level Radioactive Waste Disposal. That was another revival meeting, so this is in this series that have been going on, and that's probably going to continue also over the next 100 years. Thank you very much.